Chapter 3, Winchester. Jackson's troops were miserable in the night, huddling in the rain, having forgotten victory and Yankees as well, except for the spoils which came in with skulkers and Negro camp servants from the battlefield. Soon after midnight, the first troops were ordered to prepare for the march once more and straggled into formations. But it was to require long, costly hours before all was ready for the road. At any rate, there was no need for the buglers on this dull, roaring, wet morning, nor for the familiar flies either. One of the recruits had lately written his family, "When we open our eyes in the morning, we find the canvas roofs and walls of our tents black with them. It needs no morning reveille then to rouse the soldier. The tickling sensations about the ears, eyes, mouth, nose will awaken a regiment of men from innocent sleep to wide-awake profanity more promptly than the near beat of the alarming drum." The men whom Jackson drove in pursuit of the enemy were still under his strict discipline, willing, orderly, ready to fight, but worn by yesterday's exertions and the long marches of the month, which were now beginning to tell. Most of them were volunteers, with the familiar contempt for the drafted men who were sprinkled through the ranks. But the latter were striving desperately to win acceptance, and morale was thus high. In the darkness, sergeants of the Louisiana regiments bawled out in French, to the continuing wonder of Jackson's Virginia mountain men. One rebel had shouted, "That there furriner calls out a lot of gibberish, and them Dagos maneuvers like hell beating tan bark, just like he was talking good sense." The Creoles were among the first on the road that morning. There were few aristocrats and slave owners in these ranks. Most of them were from little towns and villages, tenants and laborers. But as everywhere in the army, there was conflict between gentleman and commoner. One corporal had exploded when challenged by his officer for violation of a camp rule, "God damn you, I own niggers up the country." And another, ordered under arrest, had cried, "I'll not do it. I was a gentleman before I joined your damned company, and by God, you want to make a damned slave of me." The seat of learning, such as it was, lay in the Rockbridge Artillery, whose first company boasted 4 Masters of Arts, 20 graduates of Washington College, and some 40 students from Washington and the University of Virginia. More typical were the North Carolina.